Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. You're here with host LaVon. It's Friday, February 27th. Happy Friday. Thanks for being here with me on the program. If you don't know, we are Monday through Friday. Happily, same time, same station. So make sure to check out the other hosts. It's an awesome time, as usual. I am waiting to hear from our guest tonight, Liam Sheff. He's a writer and actually a fellow host of a program here on UCY. He is actually releasing a book on Monday, and we're really excited to talk about it. He questions our culture, our sense of tribalism in regards to conventional relationships, also known as monogamous relationships. He ponders love and what it means to experience all kinds of different types of love. And talk about synchronicity. It's something that's quite prevalent in my life. Experiencing the types of relationships that we establish in our lives, and like boundaries that we set in them, and how certain patterns, scenarios, if you will, like seem to repeat until we figure it out. Do you know what I mean? Like something that I've been playing in my mind, and that is quite adaptable to many people, is what you don't repair, you repeat. And I can't find that to be truer, and especially in regards to love, you know. And what is love? And I often wonder the simplicity of that word doesn't even begin to describe the notion that comes along with it. Like it's a very heavy, heavy, immense word. But at the same time, it's so easy to give it. And like anything in the universe, if you increase your output, you receive. You know, giving is receiving. So Liam has an experience via love, and he shares with us his perspective. And I don't want to give you too many details, because that's his job, to tease you with his beautiful masterpiece of words. So I don't feel comfortable talking about it until we hear from him. If we happen not to hear from him, we can continue our conversation with him next week, and instead we can talk about what our version of love is. So I encourage you guys to give me a call, and I want to hear from you, like, what types of relationships have you encountered, and have you ever considered existing in a open relationship? Like, I know a lot of people, personally, I know some friends who are in an open relationship, and they happen to be married, and they decided to get a girlfriend, and it's actually it's causing discrepancy within the relationship. But at the same time, it's like offering them a beautiful experience. And I'm trying to get them to call into the show right now. Would be awesome to hear from them. I actually had them on a few months ago. We talked about something similar to what we're talking about now. It's just how we experience life via other people. So it would be cool if they called in. Let's see if we can get them. In the meantime, you guys, the phone number is 1-718-717-8296. And I'm going to tell my friends the same thing I just told you. So are you guys irritated at all by this freaking dress propaganda that's going around the internet? It's like, it speaks to the level of which we can be distracted. A lot of things are occurring in the world, if you guys aren't aware. Besides personal relationships and complications that may arise from them. Some topics we've covered this past week, we can go over those. We've been releasing so many articles on theantimedia.org. I encourage you guys to check it out. We are trying to be like a legitimate grassroots news publication, and I'm really proud of the team. You guys are doing an awesome job. I really want to talk about the action going down tomorrow since we haven't heard from our guest. Liam, we'll catch you next week. Sorry to tease you with that awesome meme and potential to hear about a book, which we all love books. Let's be real. Today is called Let's Be Real, okay? Let me drink some water because we're going to read an awesome article about some real shit that's going down tomorrow. So this was written by our chief and editor, Nick Burnaby. He published this today. So if you're not aware, action's going down in Chicago tomorrow. We had a Twitter storm today encouraging people to be aware that Guantanamo Bay pretty much exists in our country. So Chicago, Illinois, Nick says, I guess the biggest question so far in 2015, will we allow the Chicago Police Department to get away with making people disappear without due process? Will a new standard be set in America where the basic protections or what's left of them promised to us by the Bill of Rights are completely gone? In case you don't understand what I'm talking about, The Guardian reported on Tuesday that Chicago Police Department is literally snatching people off the streets, torturing and interrogating them, even killing at least one person in a secret facility that is completely illegal. This horrible place is called Holman Square. Suspicions are running rampant that this facility is not alone. There very possibly could be other sites like this in every major city in the country. This weekend and the following week, we will see if this standard will be set or if citizens will rise to the occasion and stop this utter act of fascism. We are helping to organize a Gitmo to Chicago social media storm today at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, so it already happened, to oppose this massive abuse of civil liberties. Will you join us? So there's an event link in this article. I encourage you to check it out. If you're not checking out the trends on Twitter, it is something that is trending, so people are talking about it. I encourage you to go onto our Facebook and share the links we have there and keep this motion going. There are actions that are actually going to take place in Chicago. People are going to attempt to close this place down. So that's pretty intense, right? Like, so people are mad as hell and they're not going to take it anymore, which is something that, it's an old idea against fascism. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens tomorrow. In regards to my comment earlier about this freaking dress, like, isn't it interesting that things that literally suppress your freedom are occurring and you have no idea? And a shame that we have this amazing platform called the internet in which we can literally instantaneously share our ideas and take action, and we use it in an ill manner. So if you're listening right now, There's a black site in Chicago where people are being tortured in the land of free, in the home of the brave. So how is that an acceptable occurrence? Like, I encourage you to do your research and use your tools to be informed, and share it if you think it's valid. So I want to talk to you about the event that's actually occurring tomorrow in Chicago at 3 p.m. It's at 3379 West Fillmore Street in Chicago, Illinois. Right now, there's already like a 739 people who have dedicated to going to the event. Let's read about it, guys. So it's going to be 24 degrees. People are encouraging each other to literally shut the place down. And 24 degree weather, it's like literally like a brick building. Like, what do you imagine is going to happen? Like, I just hope that it's peaceful action, and that, and more importantly, I hope that we make so much noise that it's a perpetual motion of change. Like, this is major. In addition to that, like, you guys, I want to hear your opinions on the recent passing, if you haven't heard. This was in the last couple days of where's my headline here? Do do do. Wow, we've been posting so many articles. So I want to read to you the exact title of the article. Go team. Pardon me, I want to be specific. Oh, check this out. Former victims have come forward from Chicago, the secret prison. This is a new article here. So, four more victims of the incarceration at Chicago's Guantanamo Bay style secret detention slash torture center, known as Home and Square, have come out and spoken to The Guardian about their experience being essentially treated like cattle. They are four black males: Brock Terry, Corey Wright, DeAndre Hutcherson, excuse me, and David Smith. Three of them were held in 2006, and one in 2011. They were kicked in the genitals while helpless and bound, put in kennels for humans, and they heard the blood-curdling screams of the other helpless victims while they thought they would never see the light of day again. This is intense. Okay, one man named Brock Terry was caught with 5 pounds of cannabis. Okay. Which, it is now legal in places all over. Did you hear about that? So let's continue here first. It ended up being shackled to the little circular thing behind the bench, arms spread open, being fed only twice in 3 days. The Chicago police are known for turning up the temperature in the facility to extremely high temperatures, and then depriving the victims of water while they are tied up, arms extended. I sat in that place for 3 days, man, with no talking, no calls to nobody, Terry said. They call police stations. I'm not there. I'm not there. I was kept there. I did not speak to a lawyer or anything, he continued. I didn't interact with nobody for 3 days. And then when I do see the light of day, I go straight to another police station, go straight there to the county and to be processed. He also said that he didn't see any other victims there, but he heard cries from people being seemingly tortured, and they scream, "No, no, and stop." Another black man named DeAndre Hutchinson was shackled in the same vulnerable position, and he said he was punched in the face and stomped in the genitals, like he, the cop, was putting a cigarette out.
Ugh.
I want to mention that this article that paints a vivid picture here is by Cassius Methil. He's an awesome writer here for us. He's been visiting us, and he's amazing. So I want you guys to check out his work. He does a great job breaking stories, and we're very happy to have him. So I'll continue. They got kennels, like, for people. Terry also told The Guardian, which was the original perpetuator of this, "I didn't really want to believe that, but it's the truth. I never saw anyone, but I know something else is going on. You don't want to be in that kind of situation, so you got to be quiet about it, so you don't go that route," he continued. So we're going to release more details as the situation unfolds. Obviously, it's going to be tense. They're going to try and shut down what it's called Homan Square, and following this Twitter storm. So there's going to be a huge action, especially with us discussing it now. What do you guys think? If you see the event, you can look it up on UCY's Facebook too. Wow, I'm excited. And I really apologize, you guys, that we don't have our guest on tonight. I was really looking forward to talking about sex. Truthfully, it's been a while. Let's be real. This night's called Let's Be Real. So we're being real. But there's plenty of relevant news going on in the world besides people being tortured, which is freaking horrible. Another example of how there are a lot of scapegoats that exist within our society, like the freaking dress that I'm even irritated to talk about. This was written by John Vibes also today. So this article's titled, "Do You Know What Was Hidden in the Amber Alert Bill?" So let's raise some awareness about how our government is sneaky at using tactics that are, like I said earlier, ill-mannered to trick us into agreeing to events that are actually hindering and suppressing. So I'll continue. In April of 2003, the government passed a law that everyone could get, I'm sorry, that everyone could agree on at a face value, the Amber Alert Bill. The Amber Alert is a notification system that sends warnings about missing and abducted children. This is important, right? Like, there are creepers that exist and they will take your children. So, at face value, this seemed like something that was completely positive. And when it comes to rescuing abducted children, the Amber Alert system has surely saved many lives. However, the piece of legislation that puts this system into effect is a perfect example of how the government is able to pass unpopular laws by attaching them to popular bills. And there is the freaking trickery, okay? So, in the case of the legislation that set up the Amber Alert system, there was also other completely unrelated issues covered in the bill. For example, hidden deep within the bill was one of Joe Biden's pet projects, the RAVE Act. A law that imposes legal penalties on hosts and participants of late-night dance parties. Real talk. Okay? According to the Wikipedia entry for the RAVE Act, on Thursday, April 10th, 2003, the Senate and House passed the Illicit Drug Anti-Proliferation Act, formerly known as the RAVE Act, as an attachment to the child abduction related Amber Alert bill. It's like so much bullshit that it's hard for me to say. Like, my body's like, bleh. So, the language of the original act was changed slightly before the bill was passed without a public hearing, debate, or a vote. What? Like, what is that? That's trickery. I don't like it. Not at all. So the point is important to consider whenever the government votes on anything from NDAA to net neutrality. The title of the bill and how it's reported in the news is often vastly different than what you will discover in the fine print. So that's an example of trickery. And it's also a great segue into our next topic. Just let me pull up the article for you guys. I want to talk about net neutrality. I want to hear from you guys. Like, are you aware that this is occurring? It happened recently. I want to find the story for you guys. Anti-media is blown up. We have a lot of good articles right now. I'm just trying to find you guys the ones that I'm passionate about. So, why this is important, you guys, to be aware of when things are passed, and the things that may distract you, is because, like, this establishment in Chicago is able to exist because the act called the NDAA that was in effect since 2012. So that's what nullifies the due process. So because of this act, they're going to use it as a scapegoat to, or they probably did, to establish said torture house of fun, not. So I want to read to you guys a little bit about that and then bring our conversation back to net neutrality. And I'd like to propose how net neutrality could be used as a scapegoat. I mentioned earlier about our profound ability to be effective with this tool. And I'm not comfortable personally with allowing our friend, the government, to control it. Because we all know that they have ill intentions. Let's be real, right? It's called Let's Be Real. So, what are we going to do about that? Like, that does not make me comfortable. I don't care whatever BS you feed me about how it's for my protection and safety. Like, I really don't care. How about we educate people on how to use it as a tool? Like anything that exists in this world, if you're well informed and you're educated and aware of all the components that make it, you're going to be effective. So we're getting a call. Let's add this person, see what they have to say. Hey, welcome to the show. What would you like to talk about?
Hey, LaVon, this is Vince. How are you?
Oh, Vince, I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. I'm enjoying listening to you. Say
Thank
hi to
you.
everybody in chat.
Thank you.
And,
Yeah, I'm not on the chat right now because I'm like dedicated to reading you guys these words. I'm sorry we didn't have our guest and we can't be sexy tonight, maybe next week, but there's some pretty valid shit going on in the world. And
there is.
maybe I used an evil trickery tactic to get you to listen to me. Like you thought we were talking about sex, and here I am blowing up your ears with news. That's quite relevant. And I'm also demonstrating that trickery because this is a thing, Vince, and it occurs in our society. And people like you and I have a duty to share it. And I'm encouraging other people to listen, to please do the same thing because this matters. Like our rights are slowly being taken away from us, and we're blinded by blue or fucking gold or, excuse my language, or purple or rainbow dresses, right?
Right. And, you know, I'm here in Texas. I'm visiting my family right now. And generally, you know, this is the way their attitude is, as most people's are in this world. And, you know, even in chat, even with people, you know, that are what we call truthers or whatever label we want to hang on ourselves, most people are opinionated. And, you know, we all suppose that we know what is. And without really taking a look at other people's opinions, and different information, ideas, then, you know, we really aren't well-rounded. And we can't really, as I was talking earlier, we really can't claim to have truth or know, you know, what exactly it is because we're all subject to our own perspective.
Oh,
and unless we are willing to allow another person's ideas and to take a look at them, then we're just as guilty as what we call mainstream.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and going back to the mainstream idea, I mean, it's been pounded into our heads for, you know, our whole life. So, you know, we really can't expect anybody to just jump on board because, you know, we have this different information, this different ideology of how the world works.
And, okay.
And to take it back to sex, you know,
yeah.
People are really pretty much... you know, wanting to pin somebody down on that, too, you know, straight heterosexual sex and then, you know, be against gay marriage and stuff. And marriage is only a license anyway.
Oh, so. Right. Like, that baffles me, like, to no extent. And it's interesting how all of these subjects that we're covering tonight are all kinetic and interconnected, because I'm very objective, Vince. You brought up the fact that, you know, we have different types of opinions. And I think that removing your emotions, which is being subjective when you impose an idea and you mingle it with how it makes you feel, instead if you go and you literally like kind of step outside of your body and like look at the whole picture and like ask yourself, like, am I removing my feelings? Like, how does this make me feel without me imposing my personal beliefs? And things really take on a different type of feel, you know? And so I try to do that. And I realize, like, I'm painting a picture here. And we're being given the most beautiful show. It's like a miraculous song and dance.
It's pretty amazing. I guess for about 20-something years now, you know, before the internet, I started into this investigation of the world, and I came to a point where I assumed that you know, I pretty much had it all figured out. And then here just a few years ago, I guess about 4 years ago, I started into the internet, and I discovered a lot of people were becoming aware of the information that I had. So I started again. I started a re-examination, and I went to you know, change the world or change people's idea and how they looked at the world. And
well, you got
to
change you.
To be fair, yeah, that's what happened. And to be fair with myself, I decided to seek out as many people that were as completely opposite, polar opposites of what I felt that I was. And in doing so, I felt that, like you just said, I felt that I was the one that was changed more so than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I discovered that since I it's not my responsibility to change anybody else. I have to be the one that changes. And no matter what I say, it means nothing to nobody else unless they see an example in me. So
yes.
It's not my obligation to convince anybody of anything, but I can only hope, you know, that one day that we will reach a point that it's become exponential and enough people will become aware that what true law is, what the law of God, the law of the universe is.
The law of love is, like,
no
real. Like, yes, literally, all you need is love is such a amazing thing. And I appreciate the words you just said, Vince, and it's so true. Like, and we're all on our personal journey, and your journey is your journey, and you are not to judge anybody else's journey. Instead, you are to live in, you are supposed to live in your truth, what's true in your heart. And I had the most amazing conversation with my father today. I want to share with you guys. We're in the car, and if you guys listen to me, you know I'm kind of like, like, my brain, like, I'm a one-woman show. Like, I can just talk and talk and talk. And my dad was just, like, in the car and just, like, wow. Let's just, like, because we haven't seen each other in a while, and he was just, like, overwhelmed with, I'm just like, and this is going on, Dad, and this is going on. Can you believe it's freaking Chicago? And I'm just, like, blowing up with emotion at my father and, like, telling him about all the pain in my heart about the turbulence in the world and how I'm carrying it, you know? And then I took him, like, I call this segment objective perspective, because that's the LaVon way, man. It's like silver lining. I like to be everywhere and nowhere all at the same time. So I'm telling my dad, like, I like to think of our world as a body. And like, as our body, inside of us, there are 30 trillion little universes, and all of them have a code within them. And nobody says to those cells, hey, cell, you're horrible, you're worthless, you shouldn't exist, or you have to pay taxes, or you need to travel this road in the bloodstream. And nobody's suppressing those cells. Those cells know their job and they do it. And all day, every day, those cells are constantly healing and repairing, and it's literally self-sustaining. If you give the body, if you support nerve function, if you give it water, you give it fuel and oxygen, that's the four essentials of life. So then I take that same scale of existence that is in nature and that is within me, right? And I apply it to our world, and I think, okay, there are 7 billion quote-unquote cells on this earth. But the difference between us and our cells is we are being suppressed and we're forgetting our jobs. Because Vince, in my heart and my soul, there's a code written, and I know my purpose is to share things because I see them in a way that people do not. Like, I know what's in my heart, right? You know what's in your heart. Everybody knows what's in their heart, but they don't hear it because they're hearing what everyone else has to say. And like, I think of all these problems, like when I'm in bed at night, I'm reading constantly. You know, I'm like a dang machine. I can't stop. And I'm questioning why. And it all comes back to that, right? Like, our code, our what's in our heart, is our signal to us is disconnected via food, via culture, via most of our freaking practices are weird, dude. Like, in the last 100 years, we became freaking, I don't know what, not human beings, human I call us human doings. We're doings.
I like to look at it as
now I'm breathing.
I refer to it as a mechanical beast, the system that we live in.
Yes.
And for thousands of years, at least, that there has been those that, and generally, are sociopaths and psychopaths that have, you know, risen to the top in control and have manipulated this machine and caused everybody to become, you know, no more than sheep or cattle, and be fleeced and milked and manipulated. And now we, due to with the technology of today, we're being manipulated. And Jules talked about it.
Yes, I need to talk about this. I'm collecting data for a program that I'm going to unleash where if you want to understand the universe, you guys have heard me say this a million times, you need to think in terms of vibration, energy, and frequency. Nikola Tesla was the pioneer of our future society. Like, if we want to break from this paradigm of existence and freaking be human beings, we need to listen to his message of truth. This show is called Let's Be Real right now. Tonight it's called Let's Be Real. So let's be real. I know you're going to say, Vince, and I couldn't agree more. Like, we are being manipulated in a mass level based on this technology.
Yes.
And we are also being suppressed based on this technology. Because if you knew that your cells, remember we were just talking about the cells inside of you? When they communicate to each other, their language is light. They are literally, Vince, throwing light at each other at 810 nanometers. Like, you are a light being. What the hell are all these freaking lights and machines doing to your being? And how is that interfering with you hearing your code?
Interfering, that's it exactly. And it has to be on purpose when these frequencies, from cell phones to the electricity and the wiring in our house, microwaves and everything.
Yes,
They're all counterintuitive to our own natural rhythms.
They are.
The biorhythms of the earth.
Yes, so they are.
It can't be by accident.
It's not, right? Vince. And it's not. Yeah. Like, that's my code. Like, I'm an aware being. You want to hear the things that the universe has brought it to my prevalent attention? And I'm going to give you just a preview of, like, a show that I'm working on, because it's big, Vince. It's like, I've literally been collecting data forever, right? It's like, I'm putting this big objective picture together. Okay, so let me start here. Besides understanding the technology of Tesla and being like a connected innate being that knows that this is just it is just what is, you know. Everything's kinetic. This is how the universe works. Like that movie Avatar, how people, how those beings are connected to the earth. Hey, that's you. Like literally, like you do that. So in my office, I manage a healing center, and I practice body work. I have this laser, okay, and it emits photons, which are light energy, and they emit, it's emitted at 810 nanometers, which is what you heard me say earlier, which is an optimal window of absorption of this light by the body. Okay, are you with me?
Uh-huh.
So the body accepts this light, and it's so similar to it that it actually penetrates the mitochondria, which is the part of your cell, which is like an engine. So it takes this energy and it goes, whoa, and it uses it as fuel to do what it knows how to do. So if that cell grows, say it's a B cell or a T cell, which helps generate tissue and like heal, basically, it's going to be encouraged to do its job. It's like cell crack. It's like exactly what cells need. It's fuel, but it's like healthy for them, you know. And I've seen the most miraculous things. Like we've been using it in my office for about 3.5-4 years, and it's profound. Like when you give people's books, literally like the essence of them, their bodies take it and use it as it's needed. And that's just one example of how people can be manipulated by energy that I've experienced. On the other spectrum, the not so positive spectrum, where, you know, where we're not healing, we're being destructive. Somebody I know shared with me some really interesting information, and I didn't know what to do with it before this big picture came together. Okay, his father worked for NASA, and he was one of the people who built satellites that now orbit our planet. And he tells me that these satellites were created with ill intention, basically, to emit a certain frequency, which I believe is like, 741 or something. It's like, there's a scale, you know, there's a scale of frequencies, and you want to make yourself aware of them. But basically, our planet has a natural vibration that is in harmony with all, with everything. And it's being disrupted. Like, think about our bees. Think about all the ecosystems that are naturally being disrupted. The planet's in a state of distress, right? That's an objective perspective. Right. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it appears to me that, life was intended to continually regenerate and to live forever. And something came along and has interfered with that. And we see the evilness in mankind that are trying to artificially manipulate and take control, you know, like talking about downloading their brain into a machine, and all this experimentation and trying to own life instead of being a part of it and being in the intended creation and in this flow that we are been regenerated, you know, continually. I don't know if I can really put it to words, but I think we're in a state of change and evolving, and until enough people, a mass becomes aware of the way things should be and to throw off our shackles, then unfortunately the majority of people are going to continue in this servitude of slavery and in opposition of those that really seek truth and freedom. So, but we are making progress. Like I said, 20 years ago, hardly anybody knew about anything that's being talked about, you know, in the alternative today. So, you know, I do think that there's hope, even though we run into the frustration of people that, you know, stop their ears and refuse to listen or, you know, refuse to take an examination for themselves. But all we can do is just, all we've really got to do is make an effective change for one person to stop take another look, and then them to do the same. And, you know, you can't help but, to reach that tipping point. And, so we can hope to make the change that, for a better place. And I'm not knocking anybody in the religion.
We're not doing that, of course.
It's all part of God's plan for destruction to rain upon the earth. Well, I think they're doing a disservice, and they're not really understanding the full intent of the message of some that would be called prophets from God. And basically it boils down to what you said, this idea of love.
And not only that, I want to elaborate on that, but please continue.
Go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to share with you guys a personal, practice in my life. Several of them, actually. And these are also precursors to other things I'm working on. Like, I don't share things until I live them. I want to share with you guys, like, valid, valid occurrences that I realize are shared, that are common across the board for many different types of demographics. And one of the notions that I practice is literally when I encounter somebody, I imagine that they are another me, right? It's essentially you are me, Vince, in another form, and we are mirrors, right? And we are simply reflecting our experiences upon another. And if I don't like you, Vince, and we bump heads and we argue and we fight like cats and dogs, well, it's because we don't like what we're showing each other. And maybe that's a hard truth to face. Like, I'll share with you this. I have this relationship, and like I try and practice like mindful meditation in the sense that I try to be a negative energy converter all the time. And I'm like 99% successful in my day, okay? With the exception of this one human. We just set each other off. Like, we know the exact sequence of buttons to push to go poof, like explode machine. we intentionally, we have this like vicious encounter. And I realize after some time, like, wow. And it's not constant, but it's a cycle, And I question it, like, why does this occur? And it's because we recognize that within each other and we provoke it. You know what I mean? But neither of us has gone, whoa, how do we solve the problem? Because we are not being objective, because emotions are so powerful, Vince. And I talk a lot on this program about learning and training self to not hold in emotions, but to comprehend them and let them move through the body. Especially when we have this collective anxiety, I'll call it, okay? And we're quick to pop off, Think about how people drive and flip each other off and I'm dropping F-bombs today. And just, go into a rage over the simplest things. It's just people don't have that perspective of, wait a second, that's me. And I'm baffled. We drive around in our machines and we don't look at each other. We walk by each other and we don't say hello. Like, I've taken on this action in the community where I hold up open doors for men and I call myself a gentle lady and I blow them kisses and they're like, what the hell? What just happened? Yeah. It's like I'm trying to remove this paradigm of women thinking, he has to hold open the door for me. No, he doesn't. You can hold open the door for him too.
Yeah. A lot of times we're rushing around, destination to destination, and we forget to enjoy the journey along the way. Mm-hmm. I travel a lot, usually every year, and sometimes for months out of the year, and I ride Greyhound, and so many times there's bad experiences on there, but I've come to even enjoy the being broke down on the side of the road in 2011 when I met JJ. It was a wonderful experience, And it just allowed us more time to get to know each other.
Yes.
So there's so many great experiences we miss because we're rushing, and then, you know, we have problems with someone, and perhaps, like you're saying, you
they're
know,
teaching us,
reflecting our own inadequacies, and perhaps we see in them what bothers us about ourselves.
Yes, and that is it, Vince. Like, this is life school. Like, all these experiences you're having, let them make you better. Don't go, "Ugh, this is happening to me. It's horrible." Like, you don't have to have that perspective. Instead, you can have an objective perspective, and you can go, "What is this thing? This is a thing. Okay, this thing makes me feel like this. What am I going to do with this thing?" Right?
Yeah, and it's just a thing.
It's a thing. In your life school, like, let it move through you. I think someone's trying to call me, but I don't see it popping up. I just kind of hear a little noise. So if I don't answer you, I'm really sorry.
Add to call.
Yep.
Answer.
Yeah, it's not even popping up, actually. I hear it, but I don't see it. But isn't that a beautiful notion, Vince? Like,
it is. I personally, as far as material things, you know, I don't have a lot. I think that probably, even though it probably makes me a happier person. I think I'm about the happiest person I know in life. And I love people. I enjoy meeting people. And I love the experience of life. I just think it's wonderful, you know. And I don't believe the same thing I believed yesterday. You know, it's changing. It's adapting. It's searching and coming to a furtherance of understanding. So I'm glad I'm not stagnant and stuck in one spot. I love this journey that I'm on.
Yes.
I look forward to so much more. I'm planning my trip for the West Coast this year. Gonna base in Big Bear and then re-explore Southern California. I look forward to meeting a lot of folks down there and from San Diego and L.A. And then later on, I'm headed up to Shasta and a lot of folks up there. I look forward to seeing Jefferson, the Republic of Jefferson, you know, which is Northern California and Southern Oregon. So, I don't know. I just love life. And I love people. I love this exploration, this ride, this journey. And it's just, it's incredible, even with all the negativity.
It is, but I think we do it collectively because, like I said earlier, we've been suppressed as a collective. And that's why I encourage you, fellow human beings, to be human beings. Stop doing so much. Just look at the person in the car next to you and roll down your window and say, "Are you treating yourself well today?" And then wait to see their face and hear them. Ask the lady at the grocery store. Hold open a door. Ask an old lady if she needs help, or ask her. Okay. Oh my God. That's the most beautiful story. Okay. I almost forgot to tell you this. So I'm at my house, right? And I'm like doing this meditation. And I'm just like hanging out, like listening. And I'm in my basement and it's so quiet and I love it. And my heart goes, and I just get out of nowhere. My Zen goes, and I perk up like you would not believe, like lightning bolt. And my heart goes, "Go outside." Like my intuition is like, "Go, go, go." I literally run outside and I look up the driveway and there's this little frail old lady that I've never seen who happens to live across the street attempting to hassle a garbage can into her property. And I just instinctively, like, I don't even look. I just run across the street because I notice she's falling and I ninja her. Like I literally caught her and the trash can, and I'm just holding her there, suspended in time. And she looks over her shoulder and goes, like through her glossy eyes, you know, they're wide and like you can tell she has cataracts, like severe. And her pores of her skin are like really dark, like she hasn't exfoliated in like 100 years. It's really interesting, old people's skin. Anyways, she goes, "Are you an angel?" And I said, "Yes, I'm your angel." And get this, nobody asked her if she needed help in her entire life. She said, "I can't believe this. Like, nobody has asked me if I need help." And this was confirmed because I live in a really old neighborhood. I just happened to like somehow find my way in this old timey neighborhood. The owner of the property says, "I can't believe you got that lady to talk to you. She hates everybody. Like, she still remembers when I shot a BB through her kitchen when I was 10, and she never talked to me." And I was like, "Are you kidding? Like, she invited me over for tea 3 times last week." And he was dumbfounded. Like, his jaw dropped. And then I took the moment to tell him kindly, like, "Did you know that everybody always assumed she was mean and never asked her if she needed anything?" Like, that's profound. And it also echoed in, like, the existence of my 7-year-old. Like, there's this boy in his school who's mean to everyone. And I told him, "You know what? You should be extra nice to him because he probably doesn't get enough love and he doesn't know how to say, 'I need someone to love me.'"
That's incredible. Smallest, even just the smallest little latch has profound change on the world.
Right? It's just, and these are just notions that are prevalent, and I hope that people like really take to heart what we talked about tonight. Like, talk about synchronicity. Like, we had this whole other show planned, and instead we covered the news, which was a lot of news, you guys. But our main notion has been like, enjoy your journey and encourage your fellow humans to do the same, because there are things occurring behind the curtain that are profound, and they're big, and they're ill-intended, and they are collectively destructive. But we can be something else, you know, like your cells are renewing constantly and changing depending on their fuel. We as a collective can change momentarily depending on our fuel. So let's stop perpetuating fear and hate and like turn the other way and go like, "Hey neighbor, how are you treating yourself today?"
When you said that the first time, I got a vision in my mind just thinking of saying that to somebody, and the look on their face that they would be like, "Wow, I haven't even thought of that."
Are you treating yourself well today? I've been saying it all week, Vince, and it's been freaking beautiful. I'm not gonna lie. Like, wow. Try it. Say it to everybody, and they'll go, "Whoa!" Because then you give them the power of thinking that they have power. You plant a seed. And that enough could be freaking huge.
Mm. Well, I have really enjoyed this conversation, LaVon.
Me too. Interestingly enough, Liam Chef thought I was broadcasting tomorrow. And he missed our program, and he says he's so, so sorry. So maybe he can call in and give us a little preview for when he's on. Vince,
great.
Vince,
I love Liam too. LaVon, thank you so much for talking to me tonight.
Yes, it was a pleasure, Vince. Thank you for sharing in expression.
Awesome. Okay. Talk to you later.
Have a beautiful night.
To my computer.
XO, XO, XO. Treat yourself well, dear.
Love and peace.
Love and peace, dude. Bye, Vince.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Vince. That was awesome. We're waiting for Liam to get on the program here. So he can give us a little preview about his book, you guys. It's coming out on Monday. And let me get him attached to our call here. Call him. So we were going to talk about sex tonight, and what it means to be in a monogamous relationship in our society. But instead, we ended up having this awesome organic conversation. But Liam, are you there?
I'm testing my mic. Am I sorry.
Oh my gosh. Liam, I love you. Don't even fret, because the universe had a plan, dude. Like, we had the most amazing conversation. And it's okay, but I still want you to tell people about your book because I've been reading the preview and it's profound. Please tell people about it and how they can find it.
Oh, wow. Wow, you really got to start it?
Yeah, I'm about halfway through.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. Where do I start? What have you been talking about? Let's warm up. Let's warm each other up.
Honestly, my show started off with me introducing the notion of societal hindrances, and one of them being this collective idea of what is intended. And I gave people an idea of you being a perpetuator of alternative ideas. I didn't go very much into detail, actually. I was very elusive. So I told them the title of your book and your name, and that's about it. And I hinted at the notion that you question what is conventional and what is intended. So I would love for you to give a more ideal description.
All right, let's warm each other up and let's get in the tub of warmth together. So I'm a writer, I'm a journalist, I'm an author, I'm sometimes even an artist. I investigated terrible things for a long time, pharmaceutical companies that kill people and poison children and all that kind of stuff, and it broke my heart.
Mm.
It broke every part of me. But I was a lot of things before I was a journalist. You know, I was an mm-hmm. artist, and I was a musician, or maybe always a music student. You know, I've always been a lot of things. And I was a cook, and I studied macrobiotics, and I traveled all around the country and then around the world, or at least halfway, and through Europe and parts of Asia, and just gotten around. And I've had many, many life experiences. Sex has always been on my mind, and not just in terms of like having it or doing it, but the question of what we are sexually, whether I was monogamous or not, was something that I started to consider at about 19 or 20, as I watched people throwing their youth away and hurling themselves into increasingly, I felt, restrictive relationships that took the joy out of, you know, I mean, I felt that we had waited our whole childhood to be free. And I grew up with terrible parents, like these awful people who had been influenced by old world, like badgers, and don't do this and don't do that, and be afraid of this, don't do that. My God, don't do that.
By the way, you're going to die if you touch anybody, and don't eat the dirt, and don't drink the water, and yeah.
The good news in my generation, because I'm 43, is that we were told to eat the dirt. You know, we were told to swim in the lakes. And
lucky.
Yeah, so maybe that actually helped me develop something of an immune system. But we weren't over. We were, well, any vaccination is over vaccinated. So let me retract that statement.
Oh, there's our music, Liam.
Mm. Well, that's it.
We're gonna have you on soon. I promise. Everybody check out the show on Monday, and Liam will be back to give us more tantalizing details about
We're going
to
come back. It's
really
my fault.
It's really profound. I promise. We'll talk soon.
The truth about love. Yo, here we go. Go through the stereo.